2 Timothy 1 and 5. If you have your Bibles, turn there. As you're turning, I know probably Brother Jackson is tuned in. Brother Jackson, we love you. So glad you got your miracle. God's going to do it. You don't know, he received his kidney this week, been praying for that. Hallelujah. He called me. I was on my way to St. Louis. He called me and said, Pastor, I don't have any details. All I know is the kidney's here. And by I think 4 o'clock in the morning the next night, he had a new kidney. And so we're praising God for that and believing for complete healing in his body. Amen. So Brother George, we love you. Amen. And we're praying for you. I'm going to see you later today. 2 Timothy 1 and 5. Here's what Paul says. Paul, he speaks to his pastor that he has left behind in Ephesus. And he gives him, I think, some steps, I guess you would call it. He takes time to accent what we're going to talk about today. And he starts with the leader. I find it interesting. He starts with the leader because he knows what goes into the leader ought to be trickling down to those he leads. Amen. So he starts with Timothy, and here's what he says. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and then thy mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded that it's in you also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And then he said, here's why. For, he connects these two verses are connected together. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. What has he given us? The spirit of power. Everybody say power. And of love. Everybody say love. And of sound mind. Everybody say sound mind. I'm going to tell you what, if there's ever been a day where we need power, love, and a sound mind, it is the hour, the season, the time that we are living in right now. I want to preach to you just for a little while about real, real faith. He said, when I look at you, Timothy, I see unfeigned, real, genuine, sincere faith. And that faith has birthed something in you. It birthed the gift in you. And Timothy, if you'll stir up that gift, it'll give you everything that you need to step forward in your life and your ministry and what God's calling you to do it. I believe what Paul said to Timothy is the same for you and I here today. I believe that if we understand today that real faith is what births real results in our lives, that it will bring everything that it brought to Timothy, it will bring to us. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands to heaven. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Ask you, Lord Jesus, God, to anoint the word of the Lord. Anoint, God, these lips of clay. Anoint our hearts to hear what you have to say today. And we're going to give you praise for all things in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. As you're seated, go down clapping and give God praise. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. His name was Frank Abagnale. He wrote a book around 1980 or so. I'm not sure the exact. I think it's 1980. Called Catch Me If You Can. And it detailed and chronicled his life from basically his teen years into his early adulthood. Now, it was extraordinary. Not many of us could sell many books about our lives of that time, although some of you could. Some of you could. But he could, and he sold a lot of copies because in this book he detailed where he impersonated an airline pilot. He impersonated a doctor, a college professor, and even claimed to impersonate an assistant state's attorney general in the state of Louisiana. He also was a circuit speaker and had claims of being a consultant because of all his fraudulent activity, a lot of prison time in there too, for being a consultant for the FBI because he was so good at being a fraud. In fact, later in 2002, Steven Spielberg made a movie about it based upon that story, and it was quite popular. Now, the funny thing about Frank is that people started checking into his story and started doing research and come to find out a lot of his story about being a fake was fake. Most of his claims were, and he would even admit later, were highly exaggerated, and some of which were even outright false. And it turns out the fraudster was really a fake fraudster. That in his fraudulent, he was, and his fakeness, if you want to make that a word, he was not even real when he was not even real. Now, let me tell you something. There's nothing worse than a fake when you want or you need real. Would everybody agree with that? Especially in, you know, these professions that he impersonated. I mean, when I fly, I want a real pilot. Come on, somebody say amen. When I go to the doctor, I would like him to have a real license and have practiced medicine. If I'm in enough trouble that I need a lawyer, I want a real lawyer. And I want to make sure that I understand that this professional that is in front of me, if I go to, hey, all you kids are going to school, you don't want a fake professor. Well, I could preach right there right now. Hallelujah. I'll lay off of it. But you want a real professor, somebody that's studied in that area and has, you know, actual real ideas and thoughts and factual thoughts about the area of study. And even in the small things of life, real is better than fake. Can I get an amen right there? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Here's an area that I can show you an example. Coffee has gotten crazy. It's just gotten nuts. There were years gone by when you said, could I have a cup of coffee? Here's what it meant. They would put a mug in front of you, and they would pour a black substance into that mug. There were no questions. There were no conditions. Now you ask for coffee. They said, do you want it frothed? Do you want it shaken? Do you want it stirred? You don't. I'm not even sure what they call coffee today is coffee. And if you wanted cream in your coffee, there was no question about what they meant. It was a byproduct of milk, some sort of byproduct of milk. It may have been actual half and half or cream or milk or 2%, but it was milk. You know, now they got everything now. Rice milk. How do you get milk from rice? I don't know how they do that. Almond milk, soy milk. Here's the latest one I heard. I can't believe we're doing this. Hemp milk. Last thing I heard, they made from hemp. I don't think any man or woman of God ought to be having hemp milk in their coffee. I don't know what y'all are doing with that. Coffee, there's nothing like the real thing. I remember there was a few years ago, and I will not name the name of this business, but my wife, we went to an ice cream stand, and we walked there, and it was hot. It was hot, and so we went and got our ice cream. And as we were walking back, I noticed something very peculiar. As I was eating my ice cream, it was really hot, and the ice cream was getting warmer, but it wasn't melting. Folks, I don't know if you know anything about ice cream, but when it gets hot, real ice cream ought to melt. Ice cream. And so we've never went back there before because real ice cream is what makes the heart go pitter-patter. Amen? So there's just some things. Everybody say some things. Some things that you can't afford fake in. And I'm going to tell you today, there's one other thing you can't afford to be fake, and that is your faith. Faith, there's too many things on the line for faith not to be genuine. There's too many things on the line for faith not to be sincere. I guess what I'm saying is there might have a problem if your faith is one that is stated, but it's not one that's sustained. That a faith that is something that is more of words that come out of your mouth, but not discernible actions that come out of your heart and your being. Now, here's the good news. I don't want to dwell too long on that and be negative. The good news is this, that where there is fake, there is real. You can't imitate something that does not exist. Amen. If you're imitating it, it is real. And the fake can't exist without something being real. There is a real faith. There is a real faith. Let me say that one more time. And real faith does bring real results, great results. And that is what Paul was talking to Timothy about. I don't know what Paul saw in the culture. I don't know exactly what Paul was looking at, the specific instances that Paul was seeing when he looked at this young pastor and he talked to him about his faith and the faith that he would preach to his saints. But he did. There was something that triggered in his heart that said, Timothy, I want to tell you there's something that I appreciate about you, and it is the faith that has been passed down to you from your grandmother to your mother to you, and I want you to, I'm persuaded it's in you, and I want to make sure that what's passed down to you gets passed out from you. See, traits are something that gets passed down. We understand that. There's physical traits. Hair gets passed down, and build gets passed down, and conditions and even health can get passed down from generation to generation. Behaviors get passed down from generation to generation. I look at my grandkids, and I see my kids in them, and I see myself in them. Anybody? You can pass down things from generation to generation. I'm here to tell you the first thing I notice about what Paul says to Timothy is that real faith seems to get passed down from generation to generation, grandmother to mother to son. And here we find Paul says, I see a cycle. I see a cycle that when one generation has real faith, it's something that's picked up on by the next generation and the next generation. Traits get passed down. Let me talk to parents here just for a second as a side note and tell all of you, and even grandparents today, there's nothing better that you can pass down than the real faith that's in your heart. You can pass down money and they'll appreciate it. They may even have a little bit better life because of it. You can pass down your physical traits, your hair, your build, your health, but listen, of all those things, there is nothing more valuable than the real faith in Jesus Christ that's in your heart. You can walk out of this life with nothing, but if you have children that love and serve God, there's nothing better than you can do with your life. Parents, listen to Pastor today. You've got some things to pass down. Paul tracked Timothy's faith from two generations before. Remember in Deuteronomy, here's what the Lord said to his people. He said, these words which I command thee this day, they shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt, everybody say, teach. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. You should talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Now, here's what I want you to notice about this passage here. God is not talking necessarily about when as much as he is talking about what. He's saying, here's what you need to teach while you are getting up and while you are laying down, when you're in your house and when you're out. It's about what, not about when. Listen to me today, parents. Listen to me, grandparents. Listen to me, elders. The question about what you pass to our next generation is not about will you teach them, because you will teach them. The question is about what will you teach them. Whether you like it or not, when you sit down in your house, you're teaching your children. When you leave your house, you're teaching your children. When you rise up, you're teaching your children. They're going to look at your life. I said they're going to look at your life, and they're going to learn your commitments. They're going to learn your compromises. They're going to learn your values, and they're going to learn your vanities. They're going to learn your priorities, and they're going to learn your pastimes. Can I beg you? Can I beg you today as your pastor, be careful what you're teaching, because you have no choice. You will teach. Teach them the things of God. Let me ask you this today. If you knew that what you teach your children and what you value in your life were going to affect the next two generations, what would you teach them? What would become important to you in your life? I've decided today, I think there's some folks here with me. I've decided today, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't know how much else I can give them, but I can't give them the Word of God. I can give them the truth. I can give them the revelation of the power of the Holy Ghost. I can give them the revelation of the mighty God in Christ. Come on, parents, you're going to teach them something. How about we just go ahead and teach them real faith? We all need real faith. There's so much fake in this world. We need real faith. Why? Paul gave us three reasons. The first thing he said was that real faith brings real power. Everybody say, real faith brings real power. If you're writing, write that down. Real faith always bursts and brings real power. In 2 Timothy 1:7, he said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power. Everybody say, power. And Paul infers on the inverse of that, that fake faith brings fear. Pretend faith brings fear. A placard or placeholder faith brings fear. But real faith brings real power. That word in the Greek is dunamis. It's literally a force, or especially a miraculous force, a miraculous power. It is supernatural power from God. In short, it is His power. So when Paul is telling Timothy, he's saying, I've saw your real faith, and that real faith doesn't give you the spirit of fear. It gives you the spirit of power. What he's saying is this, that God has given us His ability and His abundance and His meaning and His might and His power and His strength. Listen, I know today that we're facing a lot of circumstances. We talked about it in class, about what we call persecution. But honey, we have not seen even the tip of the iceberg. I don't mean to be a doomsday prophet, Brother Darren, but here's what I know. This world is going to wax worse. The hearts of men will wax worse and worse. This thing's not getting better. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get lighter out there. It's going to get darker. But the great thing is this, there is a real faith in the people of God, that in the middle of the darkness, there's a light that shines from the people and the truth of God's word. I'm telling somebody, this world needs your real faith. Turn to somebody, say real. Real power. The Bible says in the last days, it's going to be perilous, and men will love themselves, be covetous, they'll boast and be proud and blasphemers. Kids will be disobedient to parents. People will be unthankful and just generally unholy. They'll forsake natural affection. They'll lie and break promises. They'll be accusers and fierce. And there'll be people that just will despise anything that is good. Traitors and heady people and high-minded people. And that there'll be people that just love pleasure more than they love God. And then he says this, and this is what grips me. He said there'll be some that'll have a form of godliness, but will deny the power thereof. Now listen, I know that doesn't happen here, but I want to preach it so it never happens here. I don't want just a form of God. I don't want just a form of worship. I don't want just a form of prayer or something that looks right and something that gives the proper appearance. I want the real thing. I don't want something fake that looks like it, sounds like it, and acts like it. I want God in all His fullness and all. Is there anybody else right now? This world doesn't need a fake church. It needs a real church. This world doesn't need a fake answer. It needs a real answer. But I say fake. Who would buy a house, fill it with light fixtures, but never connect the power? Well, that's silly. That's silly. To have everything available to you for light, but never have the power that produces that light. Well, what about this? Put that picture up there. Put the picture up. This, they'll put it up there. There it goes. Anybody like that car? Isn't that nice? That's a Shelby Cobra. Now, genuine Shelby Cobras are both extremely rare and extremely valuable. and they're sought after. Some selling at some auctions upwards towards $5 million or so, I read. Now, the good news is, for all of you that can't afford $5 million, the good news is you too can be an owner of a Shelby Cobra for the mere low price of $21,000. $21,000. Less than most of your cars that you're driving right now. For less what some of you are driving right now, you could own a Shelby Cobra. There's just one problem. There's no engine. This is a kit car. You can order it. And if you're really good with your hands and you're a little mechanical, I'm sure there's some great instructions, I hope. You can take this and have it delivered to your garage. And you can build a beautiful car like this. But you've got to come up with the power. You've got to come up with the engine. You've got to come up with the drive. Dare I say that's what a lot of Christianity is marching their way to right now? Oh, it looks good. It seems good. It's got the same form. But there is nothing under the hood. Oh, let it never be said of the people of God that we look right. It's got the right form. It's got the right shape, but there's nothing inside of it. Oh, God, baptize us again with the Holy Ghost and fire. Let there be a power that is inside of us that this world says, I don't know. Listen to me. Let me just go along those lines. I'd rather it look like a jalopy, but be able to get down the road with power and authority. Look, you may not get everything right, but honey, if the Holy Ghost is on the inside, that's a power that can make the journey. Can I dare say that this world around you is not looking for shine and glimmer? And those that are missing the boat. There are real problems and real circumstances, and those real problems and those real circumstances demand real power and real answers. That only comes from the Lord. Fake fear, fake faith allows for fear. That's what Paul infers here. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. He's talking about real and genuine faith. So, fear of what? What are people afraid of today? People are afraid of uncertainty. They're afraid of violence. They're afraid of unrealized expectations. There's a huge fear right now in culture of stolen, perceived entitlement, so-called rights, and fear of perception of other people, fear of missing out, the fear of not fitting in or belonging. All kinds of fears are introduced when real faith is not embraced. It's produced a huge pile of problems right now in our world. Gender confusion, severe mental health, and even demonic influence, I would argue. We're living in a culture that, in the name of convenience, aborts its babies, and premarital sex is just a given, foregone conclusion. It's just what everybody does. We've got just such an immorality around us, and I'm not here. I know I'm preaching to the crowd, but I want you to understand what's around us here today, and those problems are real. Those problems are, they're a byproduct of the sin that Satan is peddling all around us, and we can't afford to do anything else but be genuine with our belief in Jesus Christ, because this world needs real. We need real faith because we have real problems, and we need the real Holy Ghost, and we need real conviction to settle on and around us again. Come on, the real faith brings a real God. It brings the Holy Ghost. No wonder. That's why Paul said, wherefore I put you in remembrance. I want you to remember that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the laying on of my hands. Paul said, Timothy, you're going to have to stir up that gift that's inside of you. Real faith will make you do that once in a while. Come on, y'all looking at me. Look, I don't expect you to shout. I know y'all are tired. But you understand this. When your faith is real, you cannot deal with stuff being stagnant in your heart. When real faith is in you, you get unnerved when you get too quiet. When real faith is in you, you're not contained and you're not satisfied with the status quo. There's a hunger and a thirst for righteousness that's inside of you. Is there anybody? Is there anybody that can still say, I'm hungry? I wake up hungry. I realize there's more of God that I need. I realize there's a greater step I need to take. Is there anybody here that's full of the Holy Ghost that says, you know what? It's not meant to come inside of here and just stay still. I've got to stir it up. I've got to stir it. Is there anybody? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you sometimes wonder why you do some of the things you do. An idea popped in my head, and I didn't know if it was me or the Lord. Listen, if it pushes you towards righteousness, it was the Lord. I was thinking old Brother Avery this morning. Avery, you didn't hear me, but here's what I said. He said, I don't know why this came to my mind. And I said, it's the Lord. Because the Holy Ghost stirs you up. Paul said, Timothy, don't you forget to stir you up. That real faith will cause you to stir. Real faith caused 120 to remain in an upper room until they were endued with power. Real faith caused Peter, who had just previously denied the Lord, stand up in the middle of the town square and begin to say, you've taken and you've slain your Messiah and your Lord of glory. And this is the one that you have been waiting for. Real faith caused the Holy Ghost to be poured out on 3,000. And it did not end there. I remember in 1979, real faith pushed an 8-year-old boy into a baptismal tank, and I was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Real faith is still working. It's still changing. Is there anybody that's got a real faith story here? I remember the day where faith would not leave me alone. I had to be stirred before him. God speaks to us to stir the world around us. Real faith brings real power. The second thing that Paul said was real faith produces real love. Now, if I were to ask you, you love everybody, you'd say, oh, yeah, I love everybody. Really? Do you love everybody? You know, Paul, I believe Jesus said, you know, it's easy. It's easy to love the people that love you back. Isn't it? One of the reasons why I love my wife, because she loves me back. It wouldn't work so well any other way. Anybody? Come on. We love people that love us back. There ain't nothing better. We love on our kids or our grandkids, and they give that back to us, right? But let me tell you something. Can you love people that don't love you back? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Well, what is fake? He's talking about real love. What is fake love? Fake love is the casual nod. The uncommitted greeting or acknowledgement. Hey, man, how you doing? Good to see you. Is it? Is it really good to see you? Is your heart really rejoicing? Listen to me today, folks. God's love for people is not just the absence of malice. And it's not just the absence of ill will or disdain. Real love is God's love. That is real care and real compassion and real concern. The Hebrew word here, I'm sorry, the Greek word he used here is agape, which means affection, benevolence, but specifically, and this is kind of weird for us, a love feast. That's literally what it means, a love feast. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been to a feast, but if you go to a feast, there ain't anybody standing around saying, look, it's all picked over, there ain't nothing to eat. No, listen, a feast means there's enough for everybody and anybody that's there. And when God looks to declare the love that is in us through the power of the Holy Ghost, he says, it's a love feast. There's enough love in me for everybody and anybody that's around me. Paul talks here about agape, God's love. Real faith makes you love like Jesus loved. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking what I've thought. And that is, I'm not Jesus. How many of you said that in your mind? I can point a couple of you out right now. I'm not Jesus. I know Jesus loves like that. But I'm not Jesus. Listen to Pastor. You'd be better off if you at least tried to be. You'd be better off if you at least practiced to be. Can you try? Come on, ask somebody next to you. Can you try Can you try to love like Jesus? Can you love people that have problems? Can you love people that are inconvenient? Can you love people that are on the opposite of the spectrum of your personality? Can you love people that will not ever love you back? Here's what Jesus told us about it. He said, greater love hath no man than the man that will lay his life down for his friends. Do we have a love? I'm just asking today, because real faith will produce a real love that'll once in a while lay down your life. Oh, you mean I got to die for somebody? In a way, there's going to be some times where you're going to have to lay down your life. You're going to have to lay down your priorities, what you wanted to do, so you can love somebody like Jesus loved. That's what he was talking about. I wonder how many of us would lay down our life. You lay down your schedule. Lay down your agenda. Lay down your money so you can love somebody. I'm telling you, real faith produces real love. Real faith drives you to invest your love into others. And the third thing that Paul said real faith produces is a really sound mind. That is good news. That is a rhema word for everybody here, especially some of you whose minds is not very sound. Come on, look at somebody and say, you just got a word of the Lord right there. A sound mind. Because God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. Simply means discipline and self-control. Listen to me right now. This is write this down. I don't know how, I'm elementary, but I'm telling you this is truth right here. If I could preach anything, let me preach this to you. When you implement the things of God in your life, your mental health gets better. Okay, I can't attest to what all is going on in people's mind. This world has lost their mind. It's like logic is gone. People can't think anymore for whatever. And I know the devil's blinding a lot of folks, but here's what I can promise you. Here's the good news for somebody struggling in your mind. When you start bringing in the word of God, the things of God, I don't care what kind of mess is going on up here in your mind. He is not the author of chaos or confusion. Come on, he makes all things well. If he can heal my heart and heal my arms and heal my diseases, he can heal my mind. If you struggle with your thoughts today and say, it's not that I'm not unhealthy, it's not that I'm not healthy, it's not that I have chronic diseases, it's my mind that I fight and I battle, the same God that shed his blood for the healing of your body is the same God that shed his blood for the healing of your mind. And the promise of the Holy Ghost is that he will give you a sound mind. So Isaiah was very well able to say in 26:3, Lord, here's what I can say about you. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, now watch, is what? Stayed. Shout that out. Stayed on thee. Because the end result of a mind stayed, parked, unmovable on him is that he is able to trust in thee. Everybody say, my job is to stay. It's not to run. It's not to dance around. It's not to go and try to find some other direction. When my mind is in turmoil, when things are beyond the scope of my control, David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. when it is beyond my ability to cope with it. He said, here's all you got to do. You just got to take your mind and park it on Jesus. I don't know what I'm going to do with all these health problems. I'm going to tell you what you do, sir. You take your mind and you park it on Jesus. I don't know what I'm going to do with this job and these financial circumstances. I don't know what to think anymore. I can tell you what to think. Take your mind and park it on Jesus, because it's only there that you can trust in him. Fake faith will cause you to leave that spot. Fake faith will cause you to check out. But strong faith will echo the words of Apostle Paul in your heart. I will not be conformed to this world. I won't do it like the people around me, because I'm being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And my life is going to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's why Paul could say, I'm troubled. Listen, a peaceful, sound mind is not a life that's without conflict. And it's not a life that's without concern and problems and the potential for anxiety. Because Paul would say this. He said, I'm troubled on every side. But yet I'm not distressed. Figure it out. He's perplexed, but he's not in despair. He's persecuted, but he said, but I'm not forsaken. I'm cast down, but I'm not destroyed. Why? Because I'm always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in my body. Paul said, this is all part of it. And because of the faith that I have in Jesus Christ, I can think differently when trouble comes. I can think differently when distress shows up. I can think differently when my mind tries to be perplexed. I can think differently when I'm persecuted within and without. I can think differently when I'm forsaken. Because here's what I say. I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is going to be revealed in us. Stand with me here this morning. Jesus told a parable about this issue of genuine, sincere faith. Here's what he said. He was talking to the Pharisees. He said, what do you think? Listen to this story. A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go to work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented. And he went and he did what his father told him to do. He came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, okay, I'll do it. But he never went. And Jesus said, which one? Which one did the will of his father? The obvious answer is the first. One that said, I will, but didn't. And another that said, I won't, but did. One that proclaimed and pretended. But the other that initially rebelled, but he became real. He looked at these men who were guilty of this, of peddling a faith that was empty, and a faith that was nothing more than ritualistic and just following footsteps and patterns and nothing real within them. And he looked at them and he said, the ones that have made mistakes and the ones that didn't always get it right, but they, here's the key word, they repented. If I say repent, they repented, and afterwards they went. He looked at them and said, John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But publicans and harlots, they believed in him. And then he makes this statement. Listen, he says, when you had seen it, you repented not afterwards. You saw it. Was it that you weren't aware? You heard the same message. You sat in the same pew. You went to the same church. You saw it. You saw God do miraculous things in people's lives. But yet you chose not to be genuine. You said, oh yeah, there's people are going to go before you. Can I just tell you, that's not the will of the way of God for anybody in this place. But only that we would all come to repentance and understand faith must be real in me. And real faith will always drive you. It will drive you to a gift called the Holy Ghost. It will drive you to repentance. It will drive you to baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And yes, it will drive you to the experience of the Holy Ghost, the very Spirit of God poured into your heart. It'll drive you to a life that is different from the one that you had before you came to Jesus. Real faith has real results. And it's not fear that causes you to live a life that's based on the circumstance and all the stimulus around you, but it causes you to live a life, not one of fear, but one of love, one of power, and one of a sound mind. Is there anybody that wants to take that trade right now? Is there anybody that says, you know what? I just want to check and make sure that everything is genuine here. I want to bring real faith to a real altar today and have God speak to me and talk to me. Come on, step out of your seat today, if you will. Let's pray together. Go home by way of the altar. God, I bring you real faith. Real faith, God, and I need those real results. I got a real world around me. I've got a real family that need your guidance. They need your power. I've got real circumstances, Lord, that need your interaction. I've got real dilemmas, God, and problems that need your answers. And so I bring sincere and genuine faith. I bring a mind that's stayed on you. God, I bring, Lord Jesus, myself, Lord, to submit to the power of the working of the Holy Ghost in my life. Come on, let's praise Him together. Let's pray together. Let's talk to the Lord.